From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. When we hear about immigration in the news, it tends to sound like this.
It seems like that dream is fading away, you know? The American dream to me is like fading away.
You're going to stay. Te vas a quedar?
Sí.
¿Por qué? Why?
She tells me she plans to stay for now because this is her home, but that she and other immigrants like her now live in fear.
In Texas, we see reports that authorities have pushed children and pregnant women who crossed the Rio Grande back into the river.
Who wants this? Who wants to have prisoners coming into our country? Who wants to have people who are very sick coming into our country? People from mental institutions coming into our country?
Whether it's debates on immigration policy in Washington and Springfield, or the difficult lived experiences of immigrants, there is a tendency toward the negative in our discussions of immigration. And in this era of mis and disinformation, it can also be difficult to know what's true and what's false when it comes to immigration. So today on The 21st Show, we want to take a step back and listen to a conversation we first aired last July on some of the positive stories of immigration, and we want to fact-check claims we often hear about the effects of immigration, particularly in downstate Illinois. Joining us for this conversation was Julia Albadacin Green, president and CEO of Western Illinois Dreamers and professor of political science at Western Illinois University. Also, Charlotte Alvarez, executive director of the Immigration Project, and Stephen Hubbard, senior data scientist for the American Immigration Council. She also joined this conversation. Because our program's on tape today, we're not taking calls live, but you can always let us know what you think by emailing talk@21stshow.org. All right, Stephen, I'm going to begin with you, and maybe we can just start out with a few statistics about the state of immigration in Illinois. What do we know about how much of our state's population, how many of our fellow Illinoisans are immigrants?
So in the state of Illinois, there are 1.8 million immigrants in Illinois, which is 13.9% of the population. What's interesting is that's very similar to the United States. Illinois, like the United States, has very urban counties and rural counties. And so when we look at the U.S. population, the share is 13.6, which is very similar to Illinois, which is 13.9 percent of the population.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
No. Yeah. And then if we go further down and look at some of the southern regions of the state, we see that it's a little bit, the share gets a little bit smaller. So, for instance, in Champaign, where you have the university, is 11.8% of the population, which is 25,000 immigrants. In the county of McLean, it's 6.7% of the population. And then in Tazewell, it's 2.3%. In Macon, it's 2.1%. So you can see in some of the more rural or smaller counties, we see this lower population of immigrants, but still a very important part of the population, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Julia, I want to bring you into the conversation now. You've studied immigration in the Beardstown and Monmouth area, particularly in West Central Illinois. Where are immigrants coming from there?
So I did research on, about Beardstown and Monmouth integration of Mexican immigrants. Most of the community there comes from Mexico, about 95%, and then followed by some Central American countries, some Cubans, some Dominicans, and those are the main destinations from Latin America. Then we have a share of the population that comes from West Africa. That one is a little bit more recent. And we also have some immigrants coming from Asia, especially Myanmar. So that would be more or less the makeup of the population in both of these towns that attract a lot of immigration due to the presence of meatpacking plants, mostly, and other jobs related to the industry.
And Charlotte, what's the story in Bloomington Normal? What can you tell me about where immigrants are coming from there?
Sure, we see a really kind of complex tapestry of immigrants in Bloomington Normal and just across the state. We have, you know, populations who come because of ISU and Wesleyan, or professors are associated with the university. And then we're at home of State Farm. So there's a kind of Southeast Asian immigrants who come because of related to jobs at State Farm headquarters. Then we see newer populations. There's a small but very tight-knit a Venezuelan community in town, and then a kind of a Mexican and Mexican-American population that's been rooted in McLean County for decades.
You know, Stephen Hubbard, a lot of times I think immigration, and we can hear some of the diversity in the comments there, but it's often associated with Latin Americans. And maybe that's partly because of the sort of political and media fixation on the southern border. But what can you tell us statewide in Illinois about where immigrants are coming from?
Well, the first is Mexico, which is also very similar to the United States in general. The second is India, actually, and that's also very similar to the United States. Third in Illinois is Poland, which actually surprised me when I looked this up. But yes, the third, as far as ranking of the where the population came from, is Poland.
And then it surprised you. You're giving yourself away as not being in Chicagoland or Illinois. Anyone who's from the area. I went to an international soccer match there some years ago, and there were trilingual announcements, English, Spanish, and Polish. But sorry, I interrupted you. Please continue.
No, that's great. It's great to know. It's something I learned. The Philippines is fourth, and China is fifth. In Illinois. So really the only, Central South American countries, it would be like south of the United States would be Mexico, as far as in the top five origins of immigrants in Illinois.
Yeah, interesting. All right. Julia Albarracin Green, professor at Western Illinois University. Let me ask you about immigration. It tends to be associated with people who recently arrived in the U.S., but that's not always the case. Can you say more about that? I think that may be counterintuitive when you first hear it.
I think in central Illinois, we see a diversity of length of stay of the population. Beardstown and Monmouth, which are the towns that I know the most about, are new to immigration in a way. And this is a process that is common to the whole country. After different changes in the country in regards to, for example, immigration enforcement, saturation of certain labor markets in traditional areas of immigration like California or New York or Chicago, immigration started dispersing into smaller, more rural areas. And that is a phenomenon that has reached rural Illinois. In Beardstown and Monmouth, the population is more recent from the last two or three decades, depending on which group of immigrants we're talking about. But then if you go to Chicago, right, the population is a lot more established. Peoria, Springfield, and maybe the Bloomington area is more of an in-between. So there's a huge diversity in terms of the number of years that immigrants have spent in the country. And then you have the more recent arrivals, right? The asylum seekers that have been bused to more liberal cities by the governors in southern border states. And those have arrived in the last 10 months or so. So there's a big variety in terms of the length of stay of the different immigrant groups in the country. And then we have our most people's grandparents that came to the country in the 1800s, and then some of the ones that came to the country four centuries ago. So as the, not a cliche, but the story of this country, right, is one of immigration, and that permeates every part of the country, I believe.
Absolutely. I mean, my own family, I mean, it's been quite a few generations now, but around the turn of the previous century, immigrated from Lithuania. You know, Stephen, I wonder, as we talk about length of stay and where immigrants are coming from, why they're coming, what do we know about why people come here? I mean, as we're saying, the news stories are often about the asylum seekers that governors from border states and some even non-border states are busing and flying up to northern democratic cities. That gets a lot of the media attention. But do we know why most immigrants are coming to the U.S. and to Illinois?
Well, it also, many immigrants come for work because we right now have a labor shortage. We are in need of workers in many ways. And, businesses attract workers from across the world to come to work here. In fact, if you looked at science, technology, engineering, and math within Illinois, we know that 25% of workers who work in STEM fields, which is the acronym for science, technology, engineering, and math, 25% of those workers are immigrants. And so, you know, that's an important workforce for our economy. STEM jobs usually create other jobs. We also look at things like healthcare. We are in need of nurses. And so we pull nurses from other parts of the world to come here. And things like in nursing, we know 18% of nurses who work in Illinois are immigrants. That's an important part of the workforce that we have. And when we look, I mentioned earlier that 13.9% of the population are immigrants in Illinois. But when we look at the workforce, it's much higher. And the workforce in Illinois is 17.3% immigrants. And that's often because, immigrants, when they are coming here, they're coming at an age that they are working and they are planning to work. And they're meeting a need that we have. We, for instance, like agriculture, we'll pull in immigrants because we need agricultural workers. And we have a temporary visa program in the United States called H-2A, which pulls in immigrant workers, as well as other type of workers and other types of temporary visa programs. So there's many different ways that immigrants come here to the United States beyond just what you had mentioned previously.
If you're just joining us, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're listening back to our conversation about immigration, debunking some of the common ideas and misconceptions that might be out there, and talking about the positives of immigration in Illinois, in contravention of how this is often discussed in the media. Joining us for this conversation was Julia Albadacin-Green, president and CEO of Western Illinois Dreamers and professor of political science at Western Illinois University, and Charlotte Alvarez, executive director of the Immigration Project and also with the American Immigration Council. And Charlotte Alvarez, then you're in Bloomington Normal, and I think that you mentioned that a lot of the immigrants there have come to work specifically at State Farm. Why else do immigrants choose downstate Illinois, where, as we heard from Professor Albadacin-Green, that there may not be quite the infrastructure or established communities to support immigrants to the extent that you would find in bigger metropolitan areas?
Sure. And at the Immigration Project, we serve 86 counties in central and southern Illinois. So our office, main office is in Bloomington. Then we have a satellite office in Champaign. And we're really seeing the stories of immigrants from across the state. About 23% of immigrants downstate entered the U.S. in the last 5 years. So that means, over three quarters have been here for longer and are more established. I think that the reasons why immigrants come to downstate Illinois are as diverse and complex as the reasons why many of us are here, right? I'm not an immigrant to Illinois, but I'm not from Illinois originally. I came here for work and then found family and connection and community. And I think that's what draws and keeps a lot of our people here. A search for opportunity, search for community, and search for a good place to raise their families, which is what I think makes Illinois a great place to live for the rest of us as well, right? I also think that, Illinois as a state does a pretty good job of being a welcoming place. There's always work to be done, but the state of Illinois has really implemented laws and changes to make Illinois a good place for immigrants to live, including from a mix of statuses, right? For individuals who are seeking status or on the path to something more permanent, there are still protections against the unauthorized and illegal practices of ICE to detain without search warrants. They've shut down access for the ICE to contract with private jails or private prisons to be in state to protect against detention, but also for immigrants who are permanent residents and seeking citizenship, there's support for that. There's legal services, there's access to universities. So I think that we have welcoming centers like Julia's and ours at the Immigration Project, helping people who need that extra assistance and connection. So I think that immigrants come here because, one, there's opportunities and jobs and connections, and it's a good place to raise families. And we've created a welcoming environment where they can thrive.
All right, we need to take a break. When we return, we'll continue our conversation about the effects of immigration across Illinois. We're hearing positive immigration stories today, debunking some of the myths and common tropes you hear when these conversations often come up in the media. More after a short break. This is The 21st Show. Stay with us. This is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're listening back to a conversation based on the idea that when immigration is in the news, it's often bad news, be it policy fights or poor conditions, poor people who are immigrants, things like that. But there are positive immigration stories, and immigrants are having a significant positive effect on our society. We also debunk some of the common ideas you hear when we talk about immigration. Joining us for this conversation was Charlotte Alvarez, Executive Director of the Immigration Project, and the Stephen Hubbard, Senior Data Scientist for the American Immigration Council. Also, Julia Albadacin Green, President and CEO of Western Illinois Dreamers and Professor of Political Science at Western Illinois University. Our conversation is on tape. We first broadcast this last year, so we're not taking calls live, but you can let us know what you thought by emailing talk@21stshow.org. So, Julia, you studied how immigration helped revive the communities of Beardstown and Monmouth. Tell us more about that.
Beardstown and Monmouth are located in counties that were losing population before immigration arrived. As you know, most of the younger generation in rural areas, once they get educated, they find jobs outside of their hometowns. And the meatpacking plants in these two towns attracted a lot of workers. And at one point, those jobs were occupied by locals, but it became a necessity to recruit elsewhere. So partly because of recruitment of the meatpacking plants and partly because of just the opportunity of the jobs, immigrants from Latin American countries started arriving first. This revitalized these towns that are, in my view, growing thanks to immigration to this area. Later on, the population became further diversified. Some of the Latinos that were present in the area for different reasons moved to other jobs. For example, in Beardstown, now a lot of the population works in the hog farms that feed the meatpacking plant in Beardstown. And the meatpacking plant started hiring refugees from West Africa first, and more recently from other Asian destinations, countries of origin, I mean. And these towns, I'm not gonna say they were virtually disappearing, but they were pretty depressed, like many areas in rural Illinois, and they have been revitalized. Now we see in both towns, for example, that there's a scarcity of housing. More housing needs to be built, right? And that was unthinkable before this process took place.
Charlotte, so say more about that. Once you have an immigrant community that gets a little more settled in, they have an effect on the rest of the town. In what ways do we see that?
Yeah, they definitely do. And That's the story in Western Illinois is a common story across the downstate communities. The state of Illinois released an immigrant impact report just this last April that highlighted this effect that the kind of native born population from 2008 to 2021 has decreased statewide by about 37,000, but the immigrant or foreign born population has increased by 35,000. So really the immigrants are stabilizing the loss of communities that is happening, which is particularly true in downstate as people look for other opportunities. And that, you know, it creates a really vibrant tapestry in our smaller towns. You know, immigrants are a smaller percent of the population in a lot of these places, but there's higher rates of entrepreneurship and business creation and development. And so we're seeing that revitalizing effect as immigrants are creating businesses and creating job opportunities and creating a really, you know, a great place to be and live for both the other immigrants in their community and for the other people who are living in that town. So I'll give you an example in Bloomington Normal. You know, we have a small Venezuelan community, but there the fact that they had been established in here, now they're accepting and welcoming recent arrivals, right? That recent arrivals who have come from the border have been welcomed. They have found connections to housing, connections to job opportunities. Venezuelan community rallied together and had a collective fundraising dinner in order to help people get on their feet while they're waiting for work authorization. And now we're benefiting from the fact that we have more people here you know, working and contributing to the local community.
Stephen, so entrepreneurship, employment, what other ways? How do immigrants help drive economies?
Well, definitely, you know, I do want to say something about entrepreneurship because I think that's really important. Immigrants, when you find that when immigrants, you know, they make the choice to come to another country, and that's obviously that has some sort of spirit in them. And we find that immigrants are very strong entrepreneurs. In Illinois, 22.9% of entrepreneurs are immigrants. Also, we do a study every year, and it's soon coming out, looking at Fortune 500 companies and who founded those Fortune 500 companies. And we find that approximately about 45% of Fortune 500 companies are either started by immigrants or children of immigrants. And so that is a big economic impact on a community, starting your own business where you're able to, you know, employ others and create jobs is a very big economic boom. And, you know, I'm originally from a rural county in Iowa, actually. And, you know, immigrants are so important in other aspects, some of those essential jobs that we find so important, like in healthcare and in, you know, services like meatpacking and things like that. All of those type of occupations have high, you know, higher level or higher shares of immigrants. And so they provide an important service to us. And, you know, I know in like rural areas, healthcare is a very big, important issue. I know my parents are in their 80s. When they have to see a specialist, they have to drive, you know, an hour and a half to see a specialist, to go to like Des Moines or to Omaha to see someone. And, you know, when most of their kids are living away from those rural areas, that's a really, you know, that weighs on us a lot. And that's an important thing to think about is, you know, rural healthcare, how can we rebuild that? And immigration and immigrants can be an important part of that, just as they are across the whole country.
You know, one of the tropes you often hear in these conversations and from people who are being negative about it are this idea that immigrants are tax eaters, right? Or not taxpayers. True or false? Do immigrants pay taxes?
Oh, they definitely pay taxes. In the state of Illinois, we know that they pay $20.8 billion, $20.4 billion in taxes. That includes federal, state, and local taxes. And then that leaves them with a spending power of $51.2 billion. So they are an economic force. They are also paying taxes and contributing just like anyone else, any other worker and any other person who pays everything from real estate taxes to, you know, sales taxes to federal income taxes. All of those immigrants contribute to.
And they, I mean, do we know, are they net tax consumers or taxpayers?
Oh, they are taxpayers. They are definitely contributing more than what they are receiving. Oftentimes, there are services they're not receiving because maybe they are immigrants. And so they're contributing more in taxes and probably, you know, receiving less in services. They are receiving less in services.
If you're just joining us, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're listening back to our conversation about immigration, debunking some of the common ideas and misconceptions that might be out there, and talking about the positives of immigration in Illinois, in contravention of how this is often discussed in the media. Joining us for this conversation was Julia Albadacin Green, president and CEO of Western Illinois Dreamers and professor of political science at Western Illinois University, and Charlotte Alvarez, executive director of the Immigration Project and also with the American Immigration Council. Charlotte, I want to ask you, because we were just talking about healthcare and taxes, and Illinois previously lowered the age requirement to ensure individuals who are here either they got their green card in the last 5 years and are ineligible for certain forms of government health care, or they just don't have legal status. But cost projections for that program turned out to be way higher than expected, so Governor J.B. Pritzker recently scaled it back. You've said this will actually make things more expensive for everyone. Explain that. Say more about that.
Yeah, so the program you're talking about is health benefits for immigrant adults. It was an expansion that allowed Medicaid type services for individuals who, like you said, have been permanent residents for less than 5 years, or are undocumented, or are on the path to legal status, but have not yet received that full 5 years or more of legal permanent residency. And really the arguments for providing health insurance on a larger basis, we've heard them before. First, just from the dignity perspective, right, that everyone should have access to healthcare and benefits. We see so many people in our practice who come into our doors who really need health support and don't have the resources to achieve that. So from the dignity perspective, health insurance is just really important. But from a more kind of economic perspective, if someone has a chronic health condition, then they're not able to be as strong of a worker or contributor to the economy, right? If someone has an emergency situation and they have consistent health care, they might be able to go to prevent the emergency from happening by having standard care. Or they can go to their healthcare provider instead of going to the emergency room and taking up a larger cost services. So there have been studies that show that providing healthcare really reduce the effects of and the costs on the healthcare system overall. The local community clinic in Bloomington Normal has been serving immigrant populations for quite a while and is really great at kind of articulating that. How much consistent care for everyone really helps our economy and helps the people who are receiving that care. So we're, disappointed that the state has rolled back that program for health benefits for immigrant adults, and really think that it should be re-implemented.
Only a few minutes left in our conversation. I'm wondering how we can be more welcoming of immigrants. We talked about state policy, but maybe even on an individual level. Stephen, I'll start with you.
I'll start. We have a center that's called the Center for Inclusion and Belonging. And we find that belongingness or feeling belong is very important. It's an actual human need. And, you know, we want to make sure that immigrants feel belonged, but we as individuals also, you know, you know, U.S. citizens, all of us need to feel belonged. And so we are, that's an important aspect of our lives. Just as we feel like we need to feel, you know, take care of our health, we also need to feel that belongingness within our own community. And, you know, there's local Y's, there's local organizations that you could go and work and, you know, welcome immigrants to, and, you know, see what the needs are for welcoming immigrants to the community. Not only is it a benefit to the immigrants and their family, but to you individually, for you to make feeling belonged, feeling that you're part of, you know, your community of the United States. It's an important thing to think about. And in a world where there's so much division, your own personal belongingness is one aspect that you should think about.
Julia Albaldestine-Green, same question. And I know you focused on rural communities, so maybe we can talk about, I'm imagining it can be isolating for immigrants in some ways. What can be done to make it more welcoming?
First of all, I wanted to say that in general, one great way of being more accepting of immigrants is by educating ourselves, right, about the reasons why these persons may be here without an immigration status. In our country, is, and Charlotte can tell you more about it, it's virtually impossible to get a green card if you don't have a relative who is a citizen or a resident or a college degree and an employer willing to support you in order to get a green card. In rural areas specifically, I think it's important for people to understand these reasons and to understand all the things that we said before, like the fact that immigrants do pay taxes, that immigrants revitalize communities, and being able to offer a hand, right, when people are in a situation where they don't know where to send their kids to school, how to register them in a school, all these services that some nonprofits like Immigration Project or Western New Dreamers offer downstate are also super important. So if people want to get involved, they can volunteer, as was said before, to these organizations, or just spread the word, right, that there is some help, gratefully, now in downstate Illinois, and that we can all help these families become more productive members of society.
Julia Albaldestine-Green is president and CEO of Western Illinois Dreamers, professor of political science at Western Illinois University. Charlotte Alvarez is director of the Immigration Project, and Stephen Hubbard is a data scientist at the American Immigration Council. Thank you all so much for being with us today on the 21st Show. We need to take a short break. More 21st Show after this. Stay with us.